as the Sunday school children move downstairs, I just want to join Brother Lewis and the rest of the saints here at Bellevue to welcome each and every one of you. We're happy that you've chosen to come here today to be under the sound of the Word of God. We seek to uphold the Word of God here. We use the Bible, we read from the Bible, and we explain from the Bible through the help of the Holy Spirit. If you're not familiar with the Bible, don't worry. As we pray that the Lord will open up your hearts and your understanding. Usually I speak very fast. Today I'm going to try to slow down just a little bit. But before we open up the Word of God, let us again commit ourselves to the Lord and ask Him to help and to guide, and that the Holy Spirit Himself will speak. Let us pray, please. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that through our Lord Jesus Christ we have found peace with Thee. As we have been singing this morning, peace, perfect peace. The peace which only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. The peace that satisfies our soul, that even while we live in a troubled world, we have the confidence that the Lord is with us at all times and under all circumstances. And then we have a home in heaven where we will be with Him throughout eternity. We've come at this time, our Father, to open Thy Word and to learn from it. We pray that the Holy Spirit Himself will speak. And those listening will understand and will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they will be able to answer the question that we've been singing about, what will He do with Jesus, even before this meeting comes to a close. Be with us, we pray, as we give Thee thanks, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As a prelude to the subject that we're going to talk about, I'd just like to ask you to turn with me to Rome, to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, please. And we'll read a few verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we are going to begin reading from verse 12. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian believers. And he says here in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The Bible speaks here of the natural man, and it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And we were all in this position at one time. Before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we were all in the natural man's status. After we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, although we are still natural human beings, we have the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of God entered into us when we believed the Word of God. And as a result of the Spirit of God abiding in us, the Spirit helps us to understand the things of God. So it is natural then that those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ would have trouble understanding the Word of God. But by prayer and by being obedient to the Word of God and opening up your heart to the Lord, and believing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord is not only interested in our natural being, in our natural life, but He's interested in our spiritual life. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, to save us from our sins. Let us go on then to Second Timothy, please. Second Timothy. And chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is, in godly living. To teach us how to live godly. That's the purpose of the scripture. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that's the purpose of the scripture. We read in the first portion that we've read that the natural man cannot understand the things of God. But it's through the reading of the scripture and opening up our understanding and having faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've said earlier, once we believe and the Holy Spirit enters, then we will be able to understand the things of the Word of God, and it will help us in the way we walk, the way we live in this world, and it will secure a place for us in heaven. So while we're here, we use this scripture in obedience to the Word of God so that the Word of God will make us perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And in chapter 4, while you're there, the same 2 Timothy, you read in verse 2. Let us read from verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So that's a prelude into what the Lord will have us to look at today, just to set the foundation for our discussion. As I've said, the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in our natural life because he has made us. He's interested in our spiritual life, and that is to give us everlasting life that we'll spend eternity with him. So in other words, life then is sacred unto the Lord. And I'd like to trace briefly, going back to Genesis, and go looking at a few scriptures regarding our natural life. So if we'll just go back to Genesis, please, the first book of the Bible. You know, in chapter 1 of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So in the beginning, here is God at work. In the very beginning. Now, after God created the heaven and the earth, and he created everything on the earth, God decided, well, he is going to make man. So what I'd like you to do now, the first thing in is the creation of man in this natural life. So if you look at Genesis 2 and verse 7, it says here in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that was the first human being that God had created on this earth. Then secondly, God created woman. And if you look at verse 21 of the same chapter 2 of Genesis, it says here, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. So the second person that God created, human being, the beginning of natural life, the beginning of civilization, is the woman. So you have God created the man, God created the woman in the beginning of civilization. Then after God did that, God then instituted marriage. Look at verse, let's go on from verse 23 on. And Adam said, that is after God brought the woman to him, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So God created man, he created woman, and then he created marriage. Now God blessed this union, and if you look at chapter 4, let's go to chapter 4 and verse 1. It reads, in chapter 4 and verse 1, and Adam, that's the man that God created, knew Eve, that's the woman that God created, which was his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, that is Adam, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So God created man, God created the woman, and now God married them, the institution of marriage, and this union, the man and the woman, brought forth a child. The child was not created. The child was born. The child was not created. God has blessed them, and because of, and let's make something clear here. And Adam knew his wife. And I'm going to treat it in the tender way that the Bible put it, okay? It is not that when God brought Eve to Adam, they shook hands, good to know you. Or how we meet each other and we said, pleased to meet you. It says, and Adam knew his wife and she conceived. What it means is that this special romantic physical act that takes place between a man and a woman and biblical marriage, and then there is conception after this romantic physical act, that's the knowing here, then there is conception and a child is born. And Adam said, God, look at what he said. And Adam said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So here we are, the beginning of civilization, and here is how a child is born. And today, a child is born the same way, between a husband and a wife, that physical act. But God gave them some instructions. Look at chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. And see what God told them. God gave them some instructions. Verse 27, chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and so on and so on. So God gave them instructions to be fruitful and to multiply. So they started the process with Adam knowing his wife and bearing Cain, and civilization began. And as a result, this is the same thing that goes on today between a man and his wife. Now it's so important because God instituted marriage. And I'm going to have to mention scriptures for you. If you're taking notes, you could write it down. And I will quote the scriptures to you, and we will read some as we go along. Because if we were to turn to every one of the scriptures, then we're not going to finish what I think the Lord will have me finish today. So, if you were to read Hebrews 13 and verse 4, here's what it would say. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So God instituted marriage, as we read here in Genesis, in the beginning. And again, it is said in the scriptures that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. So, God gave them the commandment to be fruitful and to multiply. The Bible makes it clear in Psalm 127 and verse 3. And it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So what does that mean? The child in the mother's womb belongs to God, and he gives that child to the parents as a gift. Keep one thing in mind. You cannot give as an inheritance someone something that you don't own. You have to own it. Common example. If you as a parent leave in your will a house for your son or your daughter, or to be divided between your children, if you owe money to the bank on the house and you leave the house for them, remember that the bank has what we call a mortgage on the house, meaning that you cannot get rid of the house unless the bank is paid out. So let us assume that you owe 100%, and that's not usually the case, but in this day and age it could happen, and you leave it in the will. Well, it means nothing because you didn't own it. It is owned by the bank. So once the bank knows that you are dead, the bank will decide what they want to do with the house. So in order to leave an inheritance, you must own. So if we read here in Psalm 127, lo or behold, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Because the Lord owns the child in the womb, it is his to give. It is his to give that as a gift to human beings. It is his. He owns it. And I like the way it is put. When we read back here in verse 28 of chapter 1 of Genesis, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And the way the Bible speaks, and even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke to the people of his day, he always spoke in them using things that they know so that they can relate to it. Talks about a tree, the fig tree, and the bearing of the fruit, and so on. So it says here that the womb bears fruit. And what is the fruit? A child. So we all know about a tree. We see from a seed, we plant in the ground, and it grows, and we watch it grow, and depending on what it is, we look forward with great anticipation of the fruit that that tree will bring forth. And it's the same thing. Think of the anticipation of a mother who is pregnant with a child. And think of the anticipation. And, you know, in old days, we didn't have the science where the sex of that child can be determined before birth. Now we have it. So a lot of people, once they're pregnant, the first thing they want to know, is it going to be a boy or is it going to be a girl? And even if they're not trying to find that out, others ask them, do you know what it's going to be? So this is how excited the fruit of the womb, that's how excited folks get. Exodus 13, verses 1 and 2, which you don't have to turn. If you're fast enough and you want to turn, you can. No, write it down. Exodus 13, 1 and 2 says the following. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify, or in other words, consecrate unto me all the firstborn, whosoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. The operative words, it is mine. So the baby in the womb, the Lord says, belongs to me. The same thing with the animals. And he says, the firstborn consecrated to me, it is mine. Does that go well with what we read in Psalm 127? Children are an heritage of the Lord. It is his. You know, it's when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that he has for children, we could also think of, and that's after birth, when Jesus was on the scene and mothers decided that they wanted their children to be blessed. And Jesus was blessing a lot of people, grown-ups and so on. And the mothers took their little ones to the Lord. And the disciples around try to stop them, push them away. In Matthew 19, try to push them away. Don't do it. But Jesus made it clear how important those little ones were to him. And that's why he said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not. Do not stop them. For such is the kingdom of heaven. So there is consistency in the word of God. You know, remember what we read in the beginning. We compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And that's what we're doing right here. So when you look at the Old Testament, what is written in there, and when you go to Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament, it reveals a lot of things that are written in the Old Testament. the importance of understanding the preciousness of the fruit of the womb, the child in the womb, and the importance of the human life, the sacredness of human life, even in the beginning of civilization. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, here's what you read. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Didn't we read that? God formed man in his own image in chapter 1, verses 27 and 28 of Genesis. You see the consistency of the Bible? So God has declared this importance of the human life. And says, because the life of the human being is so important, remember, you don't become an adult without first being a child. So because the natural life is so important, God says, if you take this life, your life shall be taken. Of course, God had set out some procedures in which it can be done, just as we have laws today that will determine what the situation would be for someone who has taken the life of someone else. The psalmist David made it clear in Psalm 71, verses 5 and 6. And here's what he said. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. In verse 6 he says, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. So when he mentioned here that he said first, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. In other words, you have cared for me in the womb. And then you have taken me out of my mother's bowels. Bowels here is meant to be the womb because that's where it is. Inside here. That's where it is. So he is making it clear that he understood the role that God played in his life from the very beginning at conception. Let us look now at some examples of the sacredness and the sanctity of life. When the angel of the Lord appeared unto Samson, we all heard about Samson, I'm sure. And if you have not heard about Samson in church, you may have seen movies about Samson. And God went to the mother, or the potential mother of Samson. And in Judges 13 and verse 5, here is what the angel said to Samson's mom, that even before Samson was conceived. And here is what he says. That is Judges 13 verse 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. In other words, he's saying, I want you to understand this. This you're going to conceive. You're going to bear a son. And this son shall be separate unto me, set apart unto me. From the womb. See the sacredness of life? You see how God deals? Even before this child was conceived, not born, before the child was conceived, God is giving instructions. Does that sound like the Lord Jesus Christ? Does that sound like what was said to Mary even before the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Let's move on. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 13, God was speaking to the nation of Israel that he will love them and bless them. He says that he will love them, he will bless them, and he will multiply their seed. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land. That is in Deuteronomy. He will bless the fruit of the womb and the fruit of thy land. So here you have a comparison again. With the fruit of the womb, blessing the womb so that the womb will bring forth children. He will bless the fruit of the land, comparing it so that we can understand it in terms of the tree. And that's why we read in Psalm 127, That's why we read that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now Job understood very clearly what it meant. Job, who is referred to in Job chapter 1 as a righteous man, an upright man, one who feared God, one who stayed away from evil, one who shunned evil. And Job, the Lord said in Job 1, that he was the most righteous man at that time. Job understood, and here's what Job said in Job 31. He said, "Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb?" Job understood it. But what was Job talking about? Well, you know, Job had a period of illness for quite some time, and he was talking to his friends. And they were trying to figure out, well, why are you sick? Why are you suffering like that? Is it because you did something wrong? And they went through all of these explanations and so on. And Job got to the point when they talk about his servants. They said, well, did you treat your servant poorly? In other words, is God punishing you because you didn't treat those who are working for you the right way? And Job is saying, why would I do that? He has value, the same value that I think I have and I know I have in God. He has the same value. And that's why Job asks the question, did not he that made me in the womb make him? In other words, I am not better than anyone else because I did not make myself. The one who made me is the same one who made you, is the same one who made everyone. In God's sight, we are all equal. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Because everyone is equal in God's sight. And everyone has access to the Lord Jesus Christ by calling upon him and asking him to come into your life and to save you. No one has an advantage over the other. Because the Bible also says that God is no respecter, as the Bible puts it, that word, of persons. In other words, he doesn't favor one and not the other. Everyone who comes, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. None will be rejected. Everyone is qualified to accept the salvation. It depends on whether we are willing to do it or not. We trust that you will be willing today. Here's what is written in Psalm 22. Let us turn to this one. Psalm chapter 22. And look at verse 9. The psalmist is saying here, when going through some difficult times, well, let's just read from verse 7 so we get an understanding. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. So the psalmist knew exactly the value that God has placed in him. And he could talk about that from conception. He can talk about the fact that God kept him and cared for him. He says here, very importantly, in verse 10, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. The psalmist understood that. Let us go to Psalm 139 also, please. Psalm 139. We begin around verse 13. The psalmist said here, beginning at verse 13, For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. The psalmist understood very clearly what God meant to him and what he meant to God. He made it very clear in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. In other words, thou possessed the seat of my emotions and my affections. Didn't we say that God is the possessor and you cannot pass on as an inheritance anything to anyone that you do not own yourself? This psalmist understood that God possessed his entire being. Thou hast covered me, he said, in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully. In other words, I am greatly, I am honorably made. And he also went on to say, and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. That's the God that made him. His work is indeed marvelous. He says in verse 15, my substance. In other words, that matter of which an organ or the body is, the body consists, was not hid from thee, he said, when I was made in secret. In other words, when I was being made, no one, it was not open for the world to see. It was in secret. In other words, God made me. He knows what he is doing. And here I am. The world cannot understand this marvelous thing that is called childbirth or conception. So the psalmist is making it clear. He says, and curiously wrought. In other words, when you're curious about something, you are desiring to learn more. You are trying to gain more information. And curiously wrought or fashioned in the lowest part of the earth, referring to the womb, the mother's belly, that's the lowest part of the earth in reference. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In other words, even though my substance was not complete at the time, yet God's eyes sees the substance. Why? Because God is the one that is causing that baby or that life to take fashion. He says, and in thy book all my members were written. In other words, although the matter is not solidified, yet the Lord sees and he has written down all the members, all my parts in his book. Are you following? So even at that period of time, God is keeping record of every child. God is writing down when human beings cannot understand what is in there. God understands and he's writing down all the members. He says, in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance, in other words, during the process, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In other words, here is the matter. Here is the forming process. The bones and everything that goes along with the human body is not yet seen, is not yet revealed, but God knows them. He writes them down in his book. Then he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God sees it all. You know, when we talk about the book that God has written down everything about the child in the womb, we also know, I said in the early stages, right in the beginning, that God is not only interested in our physical or natural birth, but he's also interested in our spiritual birth. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. in Revelations, we are told about a book. Once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, for that spiritual life, our names are written down in a book. And we are told in Revelation 21, one day this book will be opened. So we have our natural life, all our members written down in a book at conception, and we have our spiritual life, once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, written down in a book. And one day, the book will be opened, we are told in Scripture. And the names of all those who are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all the names that are written, will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the names that are not found in that book will be cast into the lake of fire. That's why we preach the Word of God. That's why we say that God is interested in everyone. No one has an advantage. It is a matter of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what we are told. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4, it says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Speaking about farming. Wouldn't take the time to explain that now, but I think for those of you who farm, it's pretty clear. In verse 5 of Ecclesiastes 11, it says, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child," in other words, of a pregnant woman, "even so thou knowest not the works of God who made all." We talk about God possessing the baby in the womb. We talk about here, the same way we read in Psalm 139, that all the members are written in the book, even before they are fashioned, everything about that child. Here is what Ecclesiastes is saying. "As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who made all." Here's what Isaiah had to say. Isaiah said in chapter 44 of Isaiah, and also in chapter 49, he says, "Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen." Verse 2, "Thou sayest the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb." So God made, he formed, he knew what was going on. The beautiful thing about the Scripture is that when you look at all of these examples and you think of what the Word of God says, and you know Jeremiah brings it out very clearly in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, there's Jeremiah speaking, he said, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me." And listen to what he says. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, I ordained thee." In other words, he was going to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. So God is letting him know that he had something to do with him. And not only did he form him in the womb, but he called him, he made him, just the same way he said in Judges, that Samson, that child, would conceive. "And he shall be a Nazarite unto the Lord." Why? Because God gave the mother that child for a particular purpose. And that purpose was that he, Samson, was going to start delivering the children of Israel from the Philistines. Not completed, but he was going to start to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. Now we're all the way now into Jeremiah, and you have the same thing that God is saying here in Jeremiah 1 and 4. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctify thee, I ordain thee for that particular purpose." Do you see how precious the human life, the sanctity of human life is to God? He knows all about it, regardless of what anyone may think. I'll give you just two more. I mentioned before concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But prior to the Lord Jesus Christ, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ was John the Baptist. And you also remember that the angel of the Lord went to the mother of John the Baptist and told her the following. Luke 1, verse 15, you could also read more about it in Luke 40, verses 41, 42. It says, "And he," that is John the Baptist, "shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." That's the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. "He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he return to the Lord their God." Samson was going to begin to lead the children of Israel, away from the domination of the Philistines. And here, in the New Testament, Samson was going to start the process and turn many back to the Lord because the children of Israel were going astray. And look, if you look at verse 41 of Luke, it says, "And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Verse 42, "And she," Elizabeth, "spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou," with speaking of Mary, "among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." You say the word again? How many times have we said the fruit? How many times have we read the fruit of thy womb? Genesis 1, verses 27, 28. "Be fruitful and multiply." And Elizabeth continued. She said in verse 44, speaking to Mary, "For behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." As soon as Elizabeth, who already knew that she, Elizabeth, was going to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, because as soon as, this is the same Mary, and Elizabeth knew that Mary was going to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Mary knew it because the angel had already appeared unto Mary, and now Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and as she spoke to Mary, she saluted, she greeted as Mary greeted Elizabeth. Elizabeth is saying, as soon as your salutation reached to my ear, your voice reached to my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Don't ask me how the babe heard it. Don't ask me how the babe knew it, but there was reaction. No, I don't know if they still say it, but I heard a few years ago, not too long ago, scientists were saying that parents should start singing or playing certain music when they are pregnant because the baby can hear it. There is proof. There is proof. So they said they're saying something right. They accept some things and others they don't. So those of you who are pregnant, start playing the music. Start reading the Bible. Maybe the baby's hearing it. That will help the baby get an early start in life while the baby is in the womb before being born. Okay, I think that's all I'll say at this point, except to say the following. From the scriptures, we've seen that a human life is very important to God because he created it. It is sacred unto him. Even before others understand exactly what is going on, and no one will ever understand exactly what is going on from the time of conception until the baby is born, although now scientists have learned certain things, they haven't learned everything. But that's important to the Lord. And God has chosen various ones to bear children. And it is holy or separate unto the Lord. For those of us who are Christians, we ought to follow and obey the word of God. It is harder for those who are not Christians, who do not know. But, as we've said in the very beginning, we are told in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So in order for you to fully understand the Word of God. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You need to cry to the Lord Jesus Christ for your spiritual life. You have the physical life. You have the natural life. But you need the spiritual life. It is the spiritual life that will bring rest unto your souls. It is the spiritual life that will help you when you're going through tough times to say to you, I am with you. The Lord will whisper to you, I am with you. You will then remember the things that you have heard from the Word of God. You will then be able to read the Word of God, because as we've read in 1 Corinthians, that the Word of God, the interpretation thereof, is spiritually discerned. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you are not saved, you cannot understand it. So in order to understand it, the prerequisite is that you must accept the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of your souls, so that you will have this, not only the physical life, but you'll have the spiritual life, and the spiritual life will save you from hell, for that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. Once you understand, and once you've prayed in your heart, and you have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you, because that's the express purpose why the Lord Jesus Christ came, to save us from our sins. That's the express purpose. So if you were to do that and you invite him into your heart and life, he will save you on the authority of God's word. The Bible clearly writes, in addition to what I quoted for you from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You heard that word? Whosoever. I said before that no one has an advantage over the other. Whosoever. And the song that we were singing is, what will you do with Jesus? That has to be answered. He made you from the very beginning. He's sustaining you, your life today, even if there might be some problems health-wise, but he's still sustaining you. Now you need to have eternal life so that you can go to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in a coming day and live happily ever after. The decision is yours. And it's a decision you must make while you have your natural or physical life. Because after your physical, natural life is over, you can't make that decision. The Bible points out, and I've been telling you where I'm getting the information from, in Hebrews 9 and 27. It is appointed unto man once to die. That's the physical, that's the natural life. But after this, the judgment. So there is no repentance after death. Decisions must be made now. You can determine, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can determine right now what is going to happen with your soul after your physical or natural life is over. And how do you do it? By accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll be able to sing the song that you normally hear at funerals, "It is well with my soul." It's not only good for funerals, it is good every day for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Every day. We hope that you will make that decision and understand the uniqueness of life, as the Bible has made it very, very clear to all of us. I do want to sing a song as we close this meeting. And I'll tell you the number, and then we'll pray. And then once we've prayed and we've sung this song, then you're free to leave. But feel free to talk to any one of us. We understand that certain things you may not understand, and you may want to ask some questions. We'll be glad to discuss with you whatever it is that you do not understand. And with the help of the Spirit, the Lord will reveal to you the things concerning himself. Let us close in prayer, please. Our Father, we give thee thanks for thy word. As we are able to compare spiritual things with spiritual, we thank thee for the natural life which thou hast given to us, the sanctity of our lives. And we give thee thanks again, our Father, for the spiritual life which the Lord Jesus Christ has come to provide to save us from hell, the lake of fire. We come today, our Father, and we give thee much thanks for those of us who have accepted thee, accepted thy word, and we know on the authority of thy word we are saved. And for those who might be here who do not know thee, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will reveal thyself to them, that they will ask thee to come into their hearts and life and save them. Thy word, Lord, will continue forever. We read in thy word that yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. So we pray, Lord, that thou art still, knowing that thou art still in this soul-saving business, we ask to save many souls for thy kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 302, may we sing this, please?
Never.